idea to make a backpack full of stuff that a homeless person would need. So we went to the store and bought Tylenol and aspirin, a medical kit, some toothbrushes, ponchos, a flashlight,
lotion, a blanket,
food, umbrella, trail mix,
a washcloth and a towel, some candy, and money,
a note.
We also wrote a note, and we wanted to say why we gave it to them and that we loved them.
We put all the stuff inside the backpack.
Then we drove around on the highway, and then we saw a lady on the median of the road, and we gave the backpack to her. The first thing she did was had tears, and then she said thank you.
And we got to see that she really liked it.
Then she ran off and started to open the whole backpack.
Was the lady happy or sad?
There's a community who live underneath an overpass in downtown Cincinnati, and I walk by them on my way to work every day. I kicked the idea out to our group, well, let's see if we can do something for them. I went down one day after work, got someone to come out from underneath the shelter and asked this guy what he could use. Well, the first thing that he asked for was garbage bags. Well, you know, that's easy enough. His concern was that the folks from the high rise across the street could look down on them and see the mess, and he thought they really didn't appreciate it and he would like it to be cleaner. So we went back following Saturday and cleaned out a 32 45 gallon garbage bag, and then we took three trips in somebody's pickup truck to take those and get rid of them in a dumpster. And when we were done, the area was clean, looked great, and then we were going to come back, and we did come back a week later, stocked up this trunk full of that good stuff, and then threw in some extra treats. And I feel better now when I walk by that path to get to work, knowing that, you know, I've done something up the way a little bit. It's just been incredible being part of some of the stories that have come out of the Kingdom Experiment, seeing the cool things people are doing.
My Kingdom group and I went to Washington Park, which is downtown across from Music Hall. We had a family-style grill out. We had all our cars packed up with all the different things that we needed to do this grill out. We had the burgers, we had the buns, we had the chips, we had the homemade cookies and the grills. And so we're walking to the little gazebo in Washington Park, and we meet this guy, and we say, hey, do you want to have a cookout with us? And he does. And so we're excited. Yes, we have one guy. We started unpacking our things, and we're all busy, and we're looking down and, pulling things out of boxes. And all of a sudden, we look up, and there are 30 people walking over the hills, like, towards us. Word has spread that quickly that there are people down here handing out food. Some of the people in line were awesome and patient and just really helpful, giving us suggestions and ideas on how we could do this better next time we come. And some of them were pretty angry with us that we didn't have the meat cooked already, or that they had to wait in line for half an hour to get a hot dog. For me personally, I feel like I'm probably the most lucky person in the group. By the time it came time to actually hand out the food, the jobs were all taken up. So I made it my point to walk around and talk to people. And that's when the story started happening. I'd say we were there for like an hour, and people started really just telling us, you know, what was going on with them. My husband actually had a guy come up to him and say, what church are you from? And he said, you know what, we're just a group of friends that got together to have a cookout down here today. Something simple like going and having lunch and not saying, hey, we're from a church. Hey, God loves you. We didn't push that in anybody's face. In our group, all kinds of little experiments have spun off of this big experiment that we did. You know, I've seen one couple do things for another couple, like not as part of our group, but just because they needed it. And it's just really like restored my faith in people.
God, I'm struck by the things that have happened over the last 7 weeks in this kingdom journey. We could fill entire encyclopedia sets, and we wouldn't be done. we could film video that could stretch around the entire world over and over and over again. And it's just been so fun to see what's been happening and to see the life change of people that are in the seats in here, including myself and people who are in the seats up on stage and across our city. And we ask that we would be able today to reflect and celebrate on the things that have been happening, and that you would reinforce in our minds today the things that we are never to forget and always to apply. And I pray these things in your name, God. Amen. Well, hey, turn around to someone close to you and tell them who you're rooting for on Monday night. Hello. And if you don't know, you're not a basketball player, which is okay too. Tell them that if you don't know what I'm talking about. Well, good morning. Welcome to Crossroads. Great to have you with us today. A few things we want to mention out of the gate. First of all, if you're newer here today, you're coming at the end of our kingdom journey, which is a 6-week journey. We were in small groups. We were doing projects together. We were doing take home work together, all this stuff. And today we're just going to debrief what's been happening. We're not going to give a lot of new information. We're just going to take a look at stories and debrief. If you're newer and you got a kid in here, we got this thing that's great. It's called Kids Club. You're going to want to take your kid over there, or you're going to want at various points to put earmuffs on them, because there's going to be some adult sensitive things that are going to happen. Today, especially. Before we get into all of those things, a few things to highlight for you, some announcements. First is, next week is Easter. Yes, Easter. Some of you are going, Easter, what is Easter? I know people go to church, which I'm newer and I'm normally not a church going person. What is the big Easter deal? What's that about? Well, come next weekend. We'll tell you what it's all about. And those of you who are at 10, 15ers who come, you know that the traffic jam you getting out is really, really hard. Well, try to come in for the 11:45 service. There's people that are backed up for long, long ways in traffic jams. So for next week, we're going to try to experiment. We're going to actually start the 11:45 service at 12 noon to give a little more flushing ability for people to flush out of the parking lots and come in. And of course,
weird metaphor to use. I'll just throw that out. Weird.
Yes, weird. But
flushing.
But appropriate. But appropriate. And you know, it's great having you at 10:15, but you know, God loves really very specially people who come to 8:45, and you know, He loves people like that and free up parking spaces and seats, and loves people come to Saturday night too. And while Stephen is interrupting, we have Stephen up here. Everyone say hello, Stephen. Yes, and we have Holly's gonna be with us today, new volunteer on stage. We'll say hello, Holly, and Brian and Josh and Greg. Yes. Say, that sounded like Wimbledon. That sounds like Wimbledon. Everyone's, oh, that's good. Holy Week service this week, Wednesday night. It's going to be celebrating the last week of Jesus' life on earth. And we're going to be doing communion this Wednesday, 7 o'clock. It's going to be very cool. Make sure you don't miss it. And new thing we're doing at the end of every series, we're going to have a room called After the Service, where if you want to go and ask questions or get some more perspective on things, you can find out information in your program of a place you can go at the conclusion of every service right here on site, at conclusion of every series, if you want to get some other information. Well, as I said, we're not going to give any new information today. We're just going to visit some of the things that we've been learning and just reflect on it, because it would be really, really a shame to just blow by what happened over the last several weeks. Thousands and thousands of us in small groups. We think about 14,000 people in small groups all over the city in the midst of the nine churches that did the simultaneous thing all together. Hundreds and hundreds of experiments that took place, individual or experiments with a group, and you're going to see that with the videos that we take a look at today. But one verse I do want to share with you, it comes from the book of John, chapter 13. And Jesus says this. He says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Today there's going to be maybe some things are going to get to you emotionally. And sometimes we tend to think that if I'm emotional, that's the times when I'm loving. And perhaps you are, and I hope that I could get more emotional. I kind of like it, but I'm not as emotional as some people. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here in loving one another. He's not talking about give emotions to each other. He's saying, as you all get in community, in small groups, as you do life with each other, and as you love one another, people will see that you're my followers and you're part of the kingdom. And that's why the small groups were a huge, huge thing throughout the kingdom experiment. And Holly, you were just telling me about your small group. You were a small group and your little experiment you guys did. What was that like?
Yeah, well, we actually took a week and we had all kinds of options. We could go do this, we could go do that. But we decided to give back to the place that gives us so much. And we came here and cleaned all the chairs that you guys are sitting in. And we didn't have gloves. My hand was eaten from the soap stuff we were spraying. And we like vacuumed and things. And then the next day I was like walking around like, yeah, I mean, look at all the chairs here, you know. But, you know, and then the Sunday I came in and somebody left a cup like sitting in front of me. And I was like, oh no, not on that seat. I just cleaned it. So I grabbed it and I was like, oh man. And I went and threw it away. So, you know, just appreciate like what people do for you and maybe put yourself in their shoes and maybe bring a wet nap and wipe off your chair after church. So,
hey, let's give a special thanks to all of our facility volunteers who clean and no one knows who they do and what they are, huh? Yes, 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 yes. I was in two kingdom groups. My wife and I were in a kingdom group with couples on Friday night. And then I wanted to get in one with guys who I didn't know. And so I went to the Kingdom Experiment website and I put my name in and I put my middle name in, Doug. I said, Doug's looking for a group. And I decided to do that because if I put my first name in, maybe someone might figure out who I was. And then maybe people might want to be there just because I was there. Or maybe people knew who I was and they would not want to be there just because I was there. So I put Doug in just to see what would happen and got a few people that way. And then I came to the matching event and went out in the atrium and it was kind of like all these signs up. People were going, Thursday night couple group over in Mason, Kentucky. I mean, it was kind of pandemonium. It was kind of cool. And I grabbed some other folks that way. And we got together on Thursday mornings and nobody knew anybody. I knew some of the folks, but nobody else knew anybody. And it was 20s, 30s. 40s, 50s, I think a 60 as well. There was people who were factory workers, people who worked with the buses, people who owned insurance agencies, people who were former pastors. It was a wild, eclectic group. The first meeting was sat down. First guy goes, "Yeah, I used to be a pastor. I left being a pastor because I felt like I was a hypocrite, so I just had to leave." And he doesn't go to Crossroads. He goes to another church. I'm like, "Oh man, that's cool." Next guy goes, "Yeah, I was an executive and I would hire my secretary based on how she looked and I would do my secretary on my desk." And we're sitting here, "Ooh, I think we're going to get beyond religious normalcy here is what it is." And we talked about that in our last group when we were doing foot washings. I asked everybody, "Hey, this has been so beautiful. What's happened here is we've been getting to know one another. Do you mind if I kind of tell a little bit of the stuff?" And they said, "Yeah, absolutely." Because when that guy said that, it deflated all the spiritual pretension. It deflated all the fakiness that could have been there. Everyone said, "Okay, all right, we're really going to get real here with each other." I had somebody email me some of the foot washings that they did. I think we have a picture here of another group here. See, this woman is kind of washing feet because this is what Jesus did. He washed feet when there wasn't a hired servant. So he took on the menial role and got down and got all the dust off of people when they had sandals on, the camel dung that would have been in their toenails. That's what happened. It was stunning for him to get down on his hands and knees. And so when we did that, like you could tell this woman here, I think she's speaking words of affirmation. And then this guy over there, he's like totally embarrassed. He's like, "I hate this. I hate this." But the small groups have been huge. We've all learned. Haven't we learned from each other and loved each other in the small group experiment? Yeah, it's been really good. And so that's what the kingdom is. It's when we're in relationship with one another. It's part of the kingdom. And here's some other things that the kingdom is. Take a look at these videos.
My friend and I decided to head down to Planned Parenthood on Auburn Avenue with a gigantic sign that read, "Free hugs and free bus tokens." We were totally stepping out of our comfort zone. We prayed before we left. And when we got there, we immediately began to question ourselves and our decision to be down there. We said this as we were following a group of about 20 people who were marching their way to the clinic down the street. She and I looked at each other and we're like, "We are so far out of our league, but we knew we needed to be here and we were gonna do what we came to do." I don't tolerate cold weather very well. My hands get very numb quickly and I have strong burning sensations in my hands. On this particular Saturday, during our experiment, it was freezing cold. And despite the fact I was bundled up with mittens on, my hands were burning so badly. I thought to myself, I'm going to have to leave. I am in so much pain right now. And I thought, God, I have so much love to give, and I know I'm supposed to be here, so help me out. Within 5 minutes, I was warm. My hands felt completely normal, and I was full of love and full of this bold feeling that I just, you know, I knew this was what I was supposed to be doing. One lady drove up in her car with her husband and her two kids in the back seat, and she said, what do we have to do to get bus tokens? And I said, you just have to give us a hug. And she, just the smiles on her face and the boys in the back, it was incredible.
Our experiment was a little different. It had an interesting start, but we felt instead of collecting money, we were going to take things, items that people already had, and distribute them to some different groups around the city that didn't resell the things but gave them away freely. So in order to do that, we needed to rent a huge U-Haul. To start our kingdom experiment, the gentleman who went to get the U-Haul's credit card was denied, so we had to get another gentleman to come along and get the U-Haul. And as we're going back to pick up some more items, the gentleman driving the U-Haul, I won't mention his name, but his name is Charlie Duffy, he ran into a van with the U-Haul. So now we're a little behind, so we get everything in the van and we drop off the first items, and we go to Alexandria, Kentucky to drop off the next items. We get there about 12:05, 12:10. The ladies open up the warehouse and we unload this huge U-Haul worth of stuff. And the ladies are like, you know, we closed at 12, but this family came at right before 12. And since we were helping them, that's the only reason we were still here when you got here. So we're just like, this is amazing that all these things are happening, but we're still getting this task done. But after we did it, we all were like, was that really anything? Did we really help in any way? We didn't see the people come and take the items from the warehouse. We didn't see the things happen. But our learning was that all of the people in our group are used to seeing things happen right away. We're used to seeing the results right away. And we realized that seeing the results isn't what it's about. It's about making the effort. It's about doing something.
My daughter is 6 years old. She's in kindergarten. She has a friend and a classmate who's been over to play a few times. There has been a history of domestic violence in her home. Unfortunately, it all culminated with her mother shooting her father in the back, and it's left him paralyzed. Oddly enough, it happened about the time of the Kingdom series. When I heard it, I was shocked. But as soon as my wife told me, I felt compelled by God to go and see this man and comfort this man, although I'd never met him before. I really didn't want to go, but I felt that I had to go. I put it off a few days and finally went to see him at the Drake Center. I sat out in the car for a few minutes before I went in, just questioning what good I could do or why I was even there. Once I went inside, I found him. I introduced myself to him, that I just wanted to pray with him and pray for him. He allowed me to. He was very accepting. I put my hands on him and just asked God to open his heart and his eyes. And we talked for a few minutes, and that was basically it. When I left, I was pretty emotional. I felt that I got a lot more out of it than he did, and that made me feel a little guilty and a little bit selfish because I'm not the person whose life has been altered in such a negative way. I felt that I wasn't the focus of this whole thing, that I was just used by God and put in that situation. I think that's what we're here to do.
Clap anytime you want to if you see that stuff. And we can also pray anytime too. Man, God, that last story just really got me. It got me, especially because I'd never met that guy before. and just walking in the hall, I just bumped into them. Just amazing the warriors that are in this place, the warriors of love, and the things that happen that we'll never know about because no one's ever going to stick a video camera in our face and show it to people. And some people may think it's insignificant, but it is significant. Thank you for people that just love one another.
Hey, yeah. You liked Tommy's story. I really liked Eric's story because his group had gathered that stuff together, you know, and then they took it, and they were kind of left with, well, who knows what good this is going to end up doing. And I like that so much because, you know, while it's so gratifying to, you know, see that, oh, I made a difference, or it's so gratifying to see somebody receive something, you know, I just ultimately that's not what it's about for me. It's that God's been speaking to me, tells me to do something, and I do it. And even if it turns out bad. I was obedient, and the kingdom is advancing in me. You know, you sometimes see a beggar, and you think, well, if I give them some money, what are they going to do with that money? And then I used to think that, and then I felt like God told me, the point is that I want you to be a giver. That's the point. Don't worry. I'll worry about them. You give them money. I want you to give stuff away. So I just really liked Eric's lesson that, like, we just did the stuff, and then we just walked away and went, well, who knows what.
Good. Now, is that little giving plug part of you breaking the rules of having an advertisement on your own with your little sign in front of your thing here? Because I noticed that, you know, we're only, you know, we try to give three announcements, but you did squeeze another one in here with this need instruments from Amelia. You want to go ahead and talk about that since you're breaking the rules and being rebellious?
Rules. Now, let's talk about rules.
No, let's not talk about that. We only got 65 minutes. Just tell us about this.
Well, I have some prime real estate here, and I'm exploiting it. We're as part of this Go Mamalodio 7 trip, we're going to be furnishing these folks with instruments, people who are musicians in their hearts, but they don't have any instruments to play, and they've never had training. And so you people in your attic, you've got a dusty guitar or something, and it's just sitting there and cracking.
Or trombone,
anything,
grand piano,
clarinet, drum, some drum you bought on vacation in Tahiti.
Spoons.
Well, come on.
Yeah.
Spit it out. We need it. Okay? So we're collecting these instruments. We're going to go to Africa, and then we're going to teach them. We're taking some music teachers with us, and we're just going to have like a seminar, workshops. And so that in the places where they are, specifically the churches that Titus is connected to, they can have some music. So,
and that's part of the kingdom.
Pop them up.
Music, beautiful music, awesome music. That's part of the kingdom. But I would be really remiss if I didn't give something else about Mamalodi. I got my first letter in the mail today from somebody soliciting money to go to Mamalodi. Go Mamalodi. Last year we had 300. This year there's 600 going. And crossed my mind when I got this letter to say this at some point, and I'll say it now. I want to encourage you, if you get one of those letters from somebody you know, I want to encourage you to be financially promiscuous. You know, being in the kingdom is having sexual fidelity and having financial promiscuity. You want to just be generous. I want to encourage you to do that. And at the same time, I want to encourage you to not rob Peter to pay Paul. You ever hear that phrase before? Not rob Peter, pay Paul. It means that people were supporting this guy named Peter and his work in the kingdom, and they were taking money away that they had been giving him and just putting it over here. And in that context, Peter's work got hurt, and the whole kingdom work hurt. Last year, we got in a real financial crisis, and part of the reason we did, not the only reason, part of the reason was hundreds of thousands of dollars that we saw, tracked, it's hard to know exactly how much, but we're very confident, hundreds of thousands of dollars that normally went to support the ongoing ministry of Crossroads. People said, oh, well, they don't need that. I'll just stop there, and I'm going to give over to this person. And we, those of you who are around, like, you know, 9 months ago, you know, it was rough. We never want to get in that place again because we operate with razor thin margins around here. We don't have big saving accounts. We just don't have that stuff. We almost had to look at laying people off and all that stuff, and no one wants that. And so I want to encourage you to be financially promiscuous, support people, bless people, but at the same time realize, what goes on here, this is the engine that funnels that and everything else. So keep that in mind. Do I have anything else I need to say to that or not? No. Okay. Let's watch another video. It's pretty darn cool.
My homelessness all began on the first day of the snowdrift, and there happened to be a gentleman walking on the sidewalk, and he began talking to me, saying, I'm going to Gospel Mission. They have church service there, and they feed people good food.
I do ministry at the City Gospel Mission, and one night when it was very, very cold back in February, I noticed this lady who was very sad, and I felt inside of me that I should approach her and talk to her. When I met Kate, I knew exactly what I needed to do. I had the faith that God was going to provide. I took her to a motel, and she stayed in that motel for a week.
Somehow we were brought together like clockwork.
During that week, Kate had to deal with other circumstances other than being homeless, and we ran a bunch of errands.
We had to get my IDs, you know, we had to backtrack.
And before we knew it, she was blessed with a new apartment. At that time, my kingdom group and I were supposed to come up with a mission. So that's when I told them all about Kate. And within minutes, they decided to furnish Kate's apartment.
When I came home, my apartment was complete.
New toaster, new coffee maker, TV, food, everything that you can imagine.
I thought, this is too good to be true.
When she came back to the apartment, she surprised us with pizza. And we all blessed the apartment. We sat down, celebrated.
And the good people she brought into my life, it was such a pleasure. The kingdom experiment made a huge investment in my life.
That's what happened in the kingdom of God. Things happen out of love, and not by our power, but the power of the Holy Spirit.
And I just want to thank the church, and best of all, my new friend.
About that last video is that because Anna was obedient to what she heard God saying in her heart, Kate believes that God knows her name and knows who she is and knows her needs and is able to provide for them. Yum is my response to that video. Yum, delicious. If you came the week when we were talking about receiving, you got a CD that was just about sitting and just receiving from God. And this song was on there. And I believe that the kingdom of God doesn't get any better. There's no way to improve upon me believing that He knows my name and He cares about me and He calls me His own. I don't think there's any way to improve on that. There are different expressions of that as we kind of grow closer to God. But this is it, I think. So if you want to, would you sing this with me? Oh, God, I thank you for 14,000 people that put themselves in a place to hear your voice. And, you know, I thank you for that hugeness, but I also thank you for sweet little Anna and her heart to say yes to you, and that through her, you touched Kate's life in a way she'll never forget. And thank you that you know each of us and you're drawing each of us into the kingdom.
Yum. Yum. All right. Last week I was hanging down front after one of the services. Sometimes I hang down front to just interact if anyone wants to interact. Sometimes I'm just really emotionally drained and I know I won't be any help to anybody, so I just kind of go off the back of the stage. And so this day I thought, well, I'm okay. So I was down here and this woman comes down and she asked me this question. She said, hey, did you get the book I left for you? And whenever someone asks me a question like that, especially afterwards when I'm mentally gone and emotionally gone, I always have to struggle whether or not to lie or tell the truth. I really want to lie and just say, oh yeah, I remember that book. Yeah, that was good. But then they might ask a follow-up question like, well, what'd you think? And then I got to admit, I just lied. But I don't like telling the truth either, because what I do tell the truth, say, no, what are you talking about? Because I know that this is an important event for somebody, whatever they're talking about. And I don't want to appear like I'm devaluing them by not remembering something that was important and significant to them. So I said, book? What book? Well, the book 11, she's going on, she's talking about this. And then she said, the Harley book. I said, oh, of course I got that book. Of course I know. It's right here, yes. This Harley Davidson book. And the reason I was so surprised and struck by her was there was a letter inside of this book, and the image I had of the person who wrote this letter is not at all the image of the person who was standing beside me. Not physical image, but just sort of the countenance of somebody, how they carry themselves. This was a person that had joy and peacefulness all about her. And that is not what was in this letter or is in this letter. And I said, man, what's happening to you? Something's pretty cool is what just happened. Do you mind if sometime I might read your letter, but not tell anybody who you are? She said, yeah, that's fine. So I decided to do this 7 days later. Here's this letter.
And this is, yes, also...
Yeah, and this is why you should have had your kids in Kids Club.
Right. Here we go.
I have to let go of a very painful past. I rode with the outlaw biker gang in the 80s. I'd like to ride again, but it is so painful. By the way, on the front it said, to Brian, one ex-biker to a current one. I'm not with a gang, though. I'd like to ride again, but it is so painful that the last time I got in a bike, I threw up. The reason that I bought this book for you is that I may feel peace once and for all. I about had an anxiety attack when I was picking it out. I've witnessed murder, theft, gun running, and about anything else unpleasant you can think of. I got involved by the man I was with at the time, the father of my son, who is now dead because of a bike accident. He never knew his son. I was 18 at the time and in Arizona, far away from home or anything safe. The gang was having one of their usual parties in the desert. And little did I know that this was to be my initiation into the gang. The drinking started, free sex, and then they got down to business, which was me. Imagine a good girl who was just getting back at her parents, took off with this biker after stealing to go with him, about to face the most horrid of horrors. They put a big chain around my neck. They slapped me around a bit, then they put a stake in the ground. They wanted to brand me with a hot iron, like a cow or some other animal. And I did not want this. My man stepped in and stopped the branding from happening, but he could not stop the rest. I was hog-chained, stripped naked, raped in unthinkable ways, defecated upon. I could hear laughing, women not stepping in, my man not stopping it. And at this point, it is a blur. All I know is that I was left to die there. They took off and left me chained to the desert floor. Some guy comes by in a white pickup truck, picks her up. She doesn't know this. Hospital tells her this, and she finds herself in the hospital. The police were there. They wanted information. I pulled out the IVs. I waited until it was clear, and I ran away from the hospital. I hitched back to my apartment and got inside, picked out the biggest gun I could find, and went into where my man was asleep. I took the gun, placed it on his forehead, and said, "Wake up, mother." He had no excuse, only that he was afraid that they would kill him too. This left me the impression that I was a piece of crap. So Brian, I had to let you know part of my story. I was hoping that I could have told you in person. She was volunteering someplace and I went by and said something. Just one of the many volunteers that just serve around here diligently in Kids Club or First Impressions, parking, coffee, whatever. I guess I said something to her. I don't remember that. I said that whatever she was doing, they inspired me. Because of Crossroads, I have a relationship with Christ. Love him and serve him. At my kingdom group, one of the male members still had his $5. This was what's coming to be known as the Great Crossroads Cash Giveaway. The reverse offering where there are mounds of cash up here and people receiving cash, signifying not just helping my financial needs, but receiving cash as in receiving Christ, love and grace from him. He still had his $5 and he put it on his Bible. And I said that I would receive it and he gave it to me. That was the first time that I took money from a man without a sexual encounter of some kind. So I had an image of what this woman would be like, and she didn't fit the image at all. And I said, you know, the person who wrote that was a bitter woman, was going through difficulty. And I said to her, that's not what you are at all right now. Your countenance is beautiful. You seem free. You see, and she basically said, yes, I've become free. It's basically what she said in her own words. She chose to forgive. She chose to receive forgiveness. And she said, this kingdom thing, there was a weight that was lifted from me and I feel great. She said, for the first time, I just heard a bike drive by the other day and I smiled. And see, what I was looking at was the kingdom. Sometimes some of us get hung up with the exclusionary passages in the Bible, like when Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. But when you're with a woman like this, you understand what Jesus said, what he meant. This woman has no chance, no chance outside of Jesus. There's no religion, no spirituality, no role model, no self-help, no nice figure in history that will bring this person to a place of forgiving, releasing, even giving the very idea to do it. This is the way is Jesus, who's the one who is the way maker. He's the truth. He's the king of the kingdom. He is the one who says, here's the way this works. You don't harbor your bitterness. You release it. You give it away. This is the way the kingdom operates. He gives that truth and he's the life. Nobody else, no other system is going to give her this life. She's standing there looking at her going from this journey to that journey because she's inherited the kingdom. She's inherited Jesus. This is the beauty, the stunning miracle of who God is. It's what we're about. It's what the kingdom's about. Another one of my things that happened that's been cool is Monday mornings, got together with a bunch of pastors. Nine in total, been doing the kingdom journey together. That's why when all of our volunteers and our staff members put together those booklets and the boxes, didn't want to put any Crossroads reference on there at all. Because this wasn't a Crossroads thing, it was a kingdom thing. And we knew other churches were going to be using all of these materials. And so pastors who were in these other churches, many of them, we would get together and kind of do team teaching preparation. We'd talk about what we were going to do. We would have ideas. And everybody had their own spin on things. But people from all over the city were going lockstep in the same direction. And these pastors, all of us laid down our individual fiefdoms. All of us said, no, it's not about our individual thing. We're going to be one because that's what the kingdom is. All of God's people coming together and being an army and being a blessing to each other and the city. And that's what this video is. It's the kingdom is like a bunch of pastors who...
Wait.
Gosh, I forget it again, didn't I? Yes. And while we do that, part of the kingdom is like people who are generous. So we're going to have little bags come down. And if you want to be generous, awesome. If it's not what you're about or you're newer here today, that's awesome. Just let it pass on by. But what?
I'm going to interrupt you again.
You know, I'm not interrupting you when you're singing.
That would be truly awkward. But
yum.
But I want a little bit more closure from that lady.
Yeah.
I wonder if we could just pray for her real quick. Okay.
Yeah.
God, I just thank you that you sympathize. The book of Hebrews says you sympathize with us in all of our weaknesses. And I don't sympathize with that lady. I don't have any idea what that would be like and the stuff she's been through. But I thank you that you do. You understand. And I just want to remind you of her and ask you to continue to help her heal. And just to draw up close to her and to be her comfort and her shield and her protector for a woman that has had nobody protecting her. And that you'd be that. And I ask that because of Jesus. Amen. Okay.
Amen.
feel a little better.
Yeah. All right.
As I've dived into the word, dove in, to see in a fresh way what God has taught me. And I've gotten far more out of this than anybody in our church, because God just reminded me of what matters. You know, as I just was diving into this woman breaking the alabaster jar on Jesus' feet and just asking, is that how my life is reflected? Is my life reflected just by loving Jesus radically? God has been just gently nudging me to remind me that's what matters most. Am I breaking my life on Him? Yeah, it's been good.
It goes back to a story Brian told on main stage the first week. If you were here that week and you remember a guy that had a daughter, that there was this boy trying to just sort of come in and hook up with this daughter, and the dad was praying that God would push this kid away. And one day at 4 a.m., God literally woke the guy up and said, "Do you care more about your kingdom and your comfort or this kid's heart?" And Brian said, you know, he just, 4 a.m., he's laying in bed crying. Well, that guy was me. From that day forward, my wife and I began to pray much differently, because we saw that even though as a pastor you got church stuff all over your calendar, it's so easy to pursue the wrong kingdom and forget about God's kingdom and all of this. So we go through the kingdom, and as a family we welcome this kid into our life, and he eats dinner with us and we play cards together. And one week my daughter was gone on spring break, and this kid shows up at church without her, by himself. And that was forgiveness week. He left that day and went straight to the parking lot and wrote a letter that is amazing. The letter just says, "I felt everything pouring out of me. I felt so much pain leaving my body. I have never felt this way before." And that's when something amazing happened. I looked up and I realized God had already forgiven me. And so maybe this is, like Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. But the kingdom came home in my heart to look at this kid differently. The kingdom came home in his heart, because for all I can tell, he's received Christ and wants kingdom buy-in personally.
As we prepared for the weekend on receiving, it was clear that the greatest idea and the greatest way to share that truth of receiving was through the reverse offering. That night I was talking to my 16-year-old son, Daniel, and I said, "Isn't that an awesome way to share that truth? I wish we could do it." And he said, "Dad, are you telling me that we could trust God to plant a church, but we can't trust God with 1 week of our finances?" The next week, I met with a new friend for coffee. I said, "Hey, go ahead and order your coffee." And he said, "Well, I'll order it, but I want to pay." I said, "You know, I'm speaking on receiving this weekend, so all I can do is say thanks." And he said, "You're really speaking on receiving?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, God spoke to me as clearly as He ever has before, and He told me to write this $200 check and give it to you." He said, "I'm not sure what it means." I knew what it meant. God was saying, "Mike, I can provide for Journey out of resources that you know nothing about."
I think one of the most...
We cut that guy off. He wasn't any good. So. Yeah.
Because I think one of the most as well.
Yes. We have behind us thousands of pictures of people who threw in, said, "I want to be part of the kingdom," and decided to be rebels. And more since have done that. And you've got the song that you wrote that's just yummy. Tell us about it.
You like that?
Yeah, I do like it.
Good. Yeah, we did this song one of the first couple of weeks, and it sparked with people, and it was real. It's really neat to be able to do it again this weekend, because the first week we had a video that was that we were looking at pictures of what we imagine rebels to be, and you know, Che Guevara and Mother Teresa and stuff like that. But here's some people up here who have said that they want to be rebels as well, because if you have a king and a kingdom that you have allegiance to, that means everything else that claims allegiance to you, say no, you don't get to be my king. I already have a king. So we're in a community of growing rebels, and I like that. So we're gonna do this again.
3, 4.
system of this world isn't right. It's...
Hey, why don't you go ahead and stand up? We're going to do a song right now, last song we're going to do today, last thing we're going to do today. And some of us feel weak and weary, and that's what this song is about. The kingdom does come to those of us who are weak and weary, but the kingdom also goes out from those who are strong, which are many of us in here, to the weak and the weary. So this song is for you if you're weak and weary, or if it's for you and you want to be strengthened, extending the kingdom to the weak and the weary. Hey, let's go. Go be the kingdom, extend the kingdom, and next level, Holy Week Wednesday night, and don't forget 12 o'clock next week, Easter. We'll see you on Easter.